It's a big week for us. It's a huge day as the ticket is turning 30 years old today. That would have been January 24th, 1994 was the first day on air for the tickets. Big week here. The 30th birthday party is Friday night at the House of Blues. We're going to have a lot of fun. And a lot of time is going to be spent today talking either, birthday stuff, whatever angle each show wants to take. And I love hearing origin stories from each show. And with the Musers, with the Invasion, with us, the Hardline, it's all different. And I loved hearing George this morning talk about getting going and this thing lasting for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And hearing George get emotional about it. And I listened to moments like that. And, you know, now that we have our own show, the past 6 months has been it's been a little bit of a whirlwind,
yeah.
Especially when it started. So
safe to say.
It's January now. I feel like I still haven't really had time to slow down and think about where we are.
Even though we had a month off in December.
Yeah. There was maybe a little bit of that, and it's healthy to look back at times because I started out a P1. I'm still a P1. I know you're the same way. Everybody on our crew, you got into this station because you liked listening to it at first. And
we're all roughly the same age. I'm a little older than y'all, but I remember I was 11 years old when we came on the air, and my dad was excited because he would listen to Galloway, he'd listen to Norm, but there wasn't an all-sports station in Dallas until the ticket came around. And I remember listening that first day to Skip on the way to school, and it was great. I'm like, hey, cool, this is great. And my dad was into it for a little while, but I think I stuck with it a little bit more than he did because I always remember my dad... Especially when talking about the early Musers, he said they're obsessed with farts.
They are.
They always come back to fart talk, for whatever reason that turned him off, but I loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
That's what we try to do every day, bring it back to toilet humor.
Pretty much.
I don't like to reflect too much, but I think today is, I think you need to, and I think it's healthy to do that at times, and maybe not just with the ticket, but wherever you are in life, things that make you happy. And for me, over the past 10 years, this has been my life. I graduated college. I started working here. I felt like I was extremely lucky and happy to just be part-time here. And you have that goal in your mind that, okay, you're a part-time board op or you're working promotions. Like, you have that goal that you want to be hosting a show someday.
Sure.
But you can't put like a time frame on it because that's going to drive you insane.
Yeah.
So for me,
you just have to be happy to have access to the club.
Yeah. Like I started full time in 2014 running the board from noon to seven, and I wanted to be the best that I could at it. I wanted it to be fun. I wanted to make the other guys in there laughing and make the host laugh. And if I did that, I thought I was doing a good job and I was happy, but I still wanted to at some time move over to the producing chair and then move in here to host a show. But I guess I started listening, obviously, with my dad at a very young age. He's a day one P1. And, you know, as a little kid, because I'm 5 years older than the ticket, I'm 35. I always enjoyed what they were talking about. I enjoyed their sense of humor. Didn't really get into it really until high school. I think my senior year is when I started listening every day religiously, going to school. I had three or four friends at school that would listen to the ticket like me, and we would have our jokes. We would talk about...
That is big, especially when you're that age, because we're always talking about sports before school or in the lunchroom or at practice or whatever. But to have your friends who were also P1s along the way, that made you an even bigger P1 because... It came around when I was in seventh grade. So into my high school years, me and my friend group, we all listened as much as we could. In fact, me and best friend Scott would skip lunch at Mesquite High and go get to Taco Bell or something. But while we're doing that, we're listening to the Chris Arnold Show produced by Corby.
And with us, it was never the sports talk. Like, we would listen to that, but it was always the bits. And I remember it was 12:50 on either Tuesday or Thursday was Gay Not Gay. And we would listen, we would eat lunch in the basketball locker room, me and my buddies Josh, DR, there's a few of us that were big P1s, and we would listen to Gay Not Gay every week, DR. It was Lake Dallas. He was very much how you would think he is. Okay. He's a P1 to this day. He's probably listening. Hell but yeah. We would, you know, we'd listen to that. I'd listen to my senior year. I was taking senior classes so I could get to school a little bit later, leave a little bit earlier. So hearing Muse in the News, driving to work, driving to school, and then 06 was Donovan's first year at the station. So I remember leaving school early and hearing Daily Donovan and the theme song for Daily Donovan every day leaving school. I thought it was so cool getting introduced to Donovan at the ticket. And, you know, fast forward to now that we're friends with all of these guys. Like it's
pretty surreal.
It's pretty stoner, like, to think about it. And especially starting our show out in California and we're going to team dinners and we're having drinks every night with dudes that I kind of grew up listening to.
Yeah,
like,
idolizing.
Heck, I've never told you, but, you know, I listened to you when you started doing tickers in 07 it was.
Yeah.
And when I was in college, you know, I heard you doing tickers and you were grinding your way moving up. And I was like, man, I want to be like in that spot sometime to be able to like be in the farm system and move up. Like, it's very surreal.
It is. I'm curious about the crew. Jay, when did you guys start listening? When did you get addicted?
Mine was probably high school, because I'm one of the full-time guys who's younger than the ticket itself. So I didn't really start listening until...
Holy moly.
Post-Grego and stuff like that. So there's a lot that I missed out on just because I wasn't really, you know, conscious of the radio station itself. But high school, it was really big, especially the bits and all that stuff, especially the basketball locker room. We always talked about the bit, fake Jerry, everything like that. And college, I guess that was when my first time really away from North Texas. So being a little homesick and stuff like that, I did not miss the ticket. And especially when I was doing my internship at the Wolf. And I was driving here to Dallas at like 2-3 in the morning.
Just crazy.
Yes. And I'd get back to Durant at like noon and I'd go take a nap before I'd work. But I'd make sure I was awake in time for the start of Why Today Doesn't Suck. And I would turn down the college radio station inside the studio every day so we could listen to E-News. And then it's back to regular scheduled programming.
Yeah, I was like that way in college too. My freshman year was the spring of 07. The year that October was Grego's last day. And, you know, being an only child from Denton County, going up to school in Kansas, my first time away from home, the ticket was like the way that I felt at home. So I would listen in the morning. I would listen as much as I could because it kind of grounded me a little bit. It kind of made me feel like I was back home. And that's when I started listening like all day, every day. Like, okay, where's Grego? Where'd he go? What happened here?
What about you, Lando? I know you've lived in other states in your adulthood.
Yeah, but he looks like a guy that has.
Absolutely.
I was born and raised here, and I, you know, like you guys listening with my dad, I remember listening to The Rant on the weekends and my dad getting upset at certain topics, and he would change the channel, but then he would always bring it back like 5 minutes later. And then we do fake Jerry at the dinner table. Like,
that's great.
I grew up loving the 840 bits. And then when I got here, it was overnights on the weekends, and you didn't really feel like part of the team. And then when Jay gets bumped up to top 10, I slid into the weekend morning board op spot. And I do want to thank Mino and Elf and Monty. Like, I got in there, and I was nervous, and I felt welcome doing those shows, and I had a blast.
That's key. You have to feel like a level of acceptance when you're real low on the totem pole.
For sure.
And like all the weekend people I worked with when I started in 01, I started in promotions and then I just hung around because back then the internship program was like, oh, you can do this. You didn't have to have like college credit. You know, it was unpaid. So as long as you were willing to hang around the radio station, somebody would find something for you to do. So Frito, let me become an overnight board op. And you start working with all those people on the weekends. And these are names that some people in P1s probably haven't thought about in a long time. But, man, Kevin Scott was one of the better human beings to ever work with. Mike Turley the same way. And those early years of just being up here when I could, I remember lingering during the nighttime show, The Hot Spot. And I was technically Doug Anderson and Big Dick Hunter's intern, and they had a Sunday show. So I was up here a lot of nights and a lot of weekends. And I've had sort of a Forrest Gump type experience here at the ticket because there's been times where I wasn't working, but I've seen historic things, including The incredible prank that the Hardline pulled on David Robinson, then he was the nighttime host of the Hotspot. He had his buddy, his sort of intern, Johnny Showtime Barnes, and they decided to, you know, get with Johnny and go in on a prank and say, hey, we want you to tell David that we're stealing you from him and his show, and we want you to be part of the Hardline. And there was like secret audio of it. It was really funny. And then they sat everybody down in the studio and
was this during, cause I've heard this clip before, but the backstory has always been kind of fuzzy. Was this during the Hardline this happened?
Yes.
Okay.
All this audio was played during the Hardline, and this was before the Hotspot, the then 7 to 9 show started. So this was probably somewhere in the 6 o'clock hour for the big payoff of the prank. David Robinson was not happy, and things got escalated quickly, and these are images that will never leave my mind.
Now, we understand you sent Johnny Showtime home last night.
Yeah. Did you really do that, Dave? Send him home?
At least let him work his last couple of days.
No, that's okay. I don't want to work for him.
No, it was David.
Dave, you sent him home, really? You sent Johnny home?
Come on, be a man about it. Say it.
I don't even shut the...
What you gonna do about it? What you gonna do about it, David? You can't do nothing about it. I will beat your ass.
Hey, David, sit down.
Come on, David. Sit down.
Dude, you got me in the middle of it.
Please. All of you, down.
Sit down.
David, sit down.
Sit down, John.
David.
God almighty.
Be cool. Sit down.
Come on.
Well, you sit down too, Johnny. Sit down.
Chill out, man.
Those are two dudes that were legit pissed at one another, and
when I first heard it, I thought it was just kind of a bit, or they were playing around. But
no.
So I wish there was video to this because it's you can hear everything bustling around. Yes. It sounds like they're shoving. You hear microphones going back and forth, and Corby's in the middle of it.
I was stunned that we didn't just like panic and go to break because I really thought there was going to be
any punches thrown?
It got pretty close. People were shoving. I mean, there were Big Dick was in there along with Danny and Corbin.
Big Dick Hunter, the personality.
Yes, had to pull those two dudes away from one another.
Like, oh God, what is that doing here?
Yeah,
clarify. Everything's flying.
Host of the P1 Wild Ass Circus, then the producer of the Hotspot back in the day.
Gosh,
but that's the thing about early days when I was here. I was just up here all the time on the weekend or at night, and then I eventually, like you, Lando, became off overnight board op. Then I started doing board hopping during live shows, and I was the one that pressed the tease button for this golden ticket moment.
I'm Layla, a missing Baylor player intern's interest in federal interest. That sounds like a ticket ticker.
God. See, I didn't know you were running the board for that.
Absolutely.
So you've been a part of two of the five weirdest moments in ticket history.
Absolutely. And I was the intern of Doug Anderson, who used to host The Ender with the TV voice of the Mavericks, Mark Folliwell. And I wasn't there for this, but I was trying to find something from Doogie back in the day. And to me, this is one of the most classic moments we've had in our 30 years where Corby decided to get behind the board during the show as they were having an interview with a wrestling professional on the phone.
So Bischoff's out. And that's because they've basically been, like, sagging in the ratings for a year now.
They have been.
I would assume that's why.
Yeah, I think basically you're right. And I think where it came from was from the Love It or Leave It meeting that he had about a month ago in Las Vegas.
A mean, greedy, cruel, grasping, evil, manipulative old man.
If you call 42 years old, then that's what he is.
That was Corby. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Yeah, our studio's doing their own show.
Very bitter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're playing drops just aplenty.
He had that Love It or Leave It meeting, and basically a lot of people didn't love it. And
he's fighting through.
WCW obviously did not want a lot of guys taken off, and they needed to get control of their locker room. They felt like this was the best way to get control of their locker room. What is that?
That was another insane drop. I don't know what's going on. They had a Love It or Leave It meeting, and they felt like they need to get control of their locker room.
And so basically,
this show sucks. I mean, it absolutely sucks.
Come on!
And that's
just Doogie.
That's where you get the come on drop.
Which, if you go to a Maverick game now, yeah. they still use that as a drop in game.
Like, that's one of those drops when you hear it in the clip, it sounds like someone's playing a drop.
Yes, absolutely.
And I can just see that moment happening. Like, it was at Maple, right? Before here?
Yes.
Like, I can just visualize Folliwell's in there doing the show, and then
he's probably about
like, in my mind, it's about 11:30 at night, somewhere very late, and I see Corby stammering in about 9 beers in.
I don't know about that.
I don't see Corby being sober in this.
I don't think the Ender was on that late at night, but
he probably had a few beers in him, and he's like, okay, I'm just gonna hide underneath here so they don't see me.
And that's the beauty of working here now 23 years, that you remember people like Doug Anderson and Kevin Scott and Mike Turley, and on the weekends, Martine Raleigh and Sean Linrose. I mean, Joe Lecce's been here a long time.
Gordon Keith.
All those people.
George Dunham.
Yeah, I mean, but there's people that haven't been here for 20 years, and they were such a formative part. And
Ty. Oh, my gosh.
God bless Ty Walker.
The Rangers won a World Series for Ty this season.
Like, did he lift the curse by leaving Diamond Talk? I do wonder.
Like, it's sad, but it's also kind of funny that he stopped doing Diamond Talk, and 6 weeks later, the Rangers won the World Series.
You know what? Do you want to talk coaching, or do you want to play more audio?
I want to play more audio.
It's our birthday. Let's play more audio next.
It's our birthday. We can do whatever the hell we want to do.
More next on the Sweet Spot.
Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
Shout out to the player of the day, James. You could be like your favorite ticket hosts and head to Las Vegas steps for the big game weekend. Text football right now to 95819 and you could score a trip to Vegas and a stay at the all-new Fountain Blue Resort and Casino, plus get 2 tickets to the big game viewing party at the resort. That is football right now to 95819.
Thank you, Jay King, host of the Ticket Top 10.
Thank you, Sean.
Filling in for Monty today. He's David, I'm Sean, this is The Sweet Spot. We got Why Today Doesn't Suck coming up in just a bit. It is our 30th birthday here at The Little Ticket. And celebrating by reminiscing, played some audio last segment, we'll do a little bit more of that here. But before that, I do want to point you towards the Dallas Morning News, because the great Michael Hogue put out an awesome piece with a lot of his own drawings of all of us, which is really, really cool. And
we look good.
You look better than I do, but
I look pretty good.
I'm glad you look good.
Got that chiseled jaw going on.
They kind of nailed it.
Kelly Dearmore of the Dallas Observer also put out a huge piece today. In fact, I believe he's putting out more content about our 30th anniversary in the coming days. But yeah, go to the Dallas Observer, check that out, and the Dallas Morning News with Michael Hogue's great piece. So, and by the way, Friday night, if you're going, I can't wait to see the P1s that are going to the birthday party at House of Blues.
It's going
to
get lit, bro.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
You guys going in there? We're going to turn up?
I will be there.
Let's go.
Hell yeah.
I have to pre-record a top 10 for it, but I will be there.
Awesome.
So yeah, let's talk more ticket. And Sean, I want to ask you this, because I never knew how you started doing tickers, because I started listening every day senior year in high school, 06. In college, I was listening all day.
Yeah.
And I first knew Sean Bass as the ticker guy from on middays.
Mm-hmm.
And when I interned in 2011... got to meet you, I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. It's Sean Bass.
Yeah.
I know him from Ticker. So what was that process Starstruck. Like going from, I guess, doing weekend running the board, mm-hmm. doing stuff from there, and then getting promoted to doing tickers? Was there like an interview process for
not,
you? Were you like,
not really.
Were there other people that were competing for that job? Because that was kind of a dark period for me. I was just like, okay, there's Sean. He's the ticker guy.
What a lot of young people need to know about radio is just if you're available when things pop open, that's usually the best opportunity, and that's what happened mm-hmm. with me, because I was at North Texas doing radio stuff at KNTU, doing sports every day, doing updates and whatnot, and we even had our own talk show, The Green Guys, which aired Sunday night with my friend John Little, who you may know, and my buddy Eric and Drew and Gotti and Bobby and just a bunch of dudes that are still lifelong friends, and I was running the board, and while I was cutting my teeth in college, Frito needed somebody to do some tickers. I think it was for a Normathon, and he needed some overnight tickers, so I was happy to do that, and it just sort of went from there, so I eventually phased off the board and into the newsroom and spent a lot of time.
Yeah, a lot of early mornings.
Maybe too many years, but I'm glad I stuck with it. But no, I mean, it's like we were saying, there's so many people that have worked here in the past that I do want to remember on a day like this. I mentioned Turley and Kevin Scott. I mean, doing shows on Ticket Sports Saturday with Stu Cedar, mm-hmm. who was producing Elf back in the day. And Sunday mornings were a blast, you know, with Elf.
Sundays mornings have always been fun.
It's such a good time to do radio.
But yeah, doing work in progress for all those years with Justin, and we had Cray Tray for the longest time. We've had Jay run the board for us. Lando worked for us. And, you know, when you're working your way up through the weekends, when you start doing overnight stuff and you run the board and you do tickers and then you get to host a little bit, like you can tell the people that they have the motivation and they have a mixture of the skill and they want to move up, and there's things that kind of remind you about yourself in them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I see that with you guys in the other room, with Jay and Lando. I was like, okay, these guys are on our show. This is going to be fun. I want good things to happen for those people.
Absolutely.
It's like, not going to lie, we've had people that work here part-time that kind of suck. They don't work here anymore, but they might come in and out. You probably, P1s don't know their names because they might do overnight weekends for a few weeks, and you can tell that they're just either not P1s or they just want to move on to something else, sure. and you don't really want to work
and
with
honestly,
those people.
Radio's not for everybody, yeah. so I do kind of understand it. It's not the, it's changed a lot since I started in 01 compared to what it is now. And like when I go talk to the broadcast kids up at UNT, I tell them, you know what? Terrestrial radio, maybe not a great future for you. I'm not going to be completely
honest. You have them take out their textbooks and rip out the pages.
Yeah, they don't have textbooks anymore. But let's play a little bit more audio.
Yeah.
We didn't play this during the segment last week where we looked at the 1995 ESPN outside the lines, talking about the explosion of sports radio in America. And a lot of it featured the Ticket. And they even took a few minutes to talk about the Ticket's origin, which I still think is fascinating.
I think other stations have looked to FAN
this is Mad
as
Dog.
Being the prototypical station to do their thing.
That's where Spencer Kendrick got his idea.
1310, the Ticket.
Leaving Wall Street, returning to Dallas to spend most of his net worth on a small AM station. KCTK, the Ticket, boasting of sports with an attitude.
We call ourselves your wife's worst nightmare.
Spence.
And to a lot of people, we are.
You cringe at some of the things that you hear on your own station?
Yes, I do.
To the hard line.
That would be us.
Just a few thoughts on the cancerous polyp of a broadcaster known as Bill Walton. Bill, unlike the other Bill in the White House, there is no question that you did inhale and you continue to suck to this day.
We don't care if we piss people off.
The station's birth announcement was a 40-foot jockstrap on a billboard at a major Dallas interchange. And the measure of its success, after 18 months, the most affluent listenership in town, and an impending sale at a substantial profit to a competitor's parent company. Sports talk radio is a balance of information and entertainment, with heavy doses of personality.
If there's one thing, especially here in Dallas, that the callers and the listeners can sniff out, it's a fraud.
Yes.
If you're a fraud, they're going to sniff you out.
If you're
and not only
to...
that, they're going to expose you.
They're going to sniff you out, brother.
I've been quoting that just around the house.
you a fraud, brother.
Just see a dog walking. That dog's a fraud.
And I know it's been talked about a lot what Spence did to help get this thing off the ground and how Ryan's helped get everything, the ball rolling. But to hear George and Craig this time every year to talk about the risk they took as young adults, and George had a family,
mm-hmm.
and Craig had a full-time job at Texas State Network or 1080, wherever it was, to put your career and your livelihood on the line for a gamble that they didn't know if it was going to be around in 6 months. Now, luckily, we work in one of the best sports markets in the country, and it's an easy sell.
You have the
to
Cowboys,
have an all sports station, especially in the halcyon days of the Cowboys, and then the whole the fallout of Jimmy and Jerry. I mean, it was great timing to have one of these in our fair bird.
And in late '93, Spence was probably thinking, okay, the Cowboys are going to be in the Super Bowl every damn year, so this thing is going to be, I mean, go to the Super Bowl every year. It's going to be like that for 25, 30 years. So this thing has some staying power. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of younger P1s probably don't know who Spence Kendrick is. He was the owner of this station. It was his idea to have a all sports station in Dallas. There wasn't Cumulus at the time. There was no No big company that owned the ticket. This was his investment that he took a risk on.
But it got bought relatively
quickly. Yeah, he sold it pretty quick.
Which, it's a great product.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about the early days that I remember is I didn't like listening to Skip in the morning, but I really liked listening to George and Craig, and I really liked the Hardline pretty early on. And that's why when you hear writers or TV people try to do radio, it doesn't always click. But when you hear radio people doing radio, that's a reason those guys have been around for 30 years.
Yeah, and you hear in other markets, stations that try to do this, and the time I spent in Kansas City, I'd listen to...
They use our logo in other markets.
Yeah, there's other tickets. Like, I've listened to other sports talk stations, and it's just... It's what you... It's East Coast just reading stats, and there's not a lot of personality. A lot of caller-driven radio, but it's seriously unique here.
It is.
And it's made it 30 years and at least 30 more. Or maybe we'll make it 31.
Who knows what terrestrial radio will be even 10 years from now, but we're happy to be here. And to spend 23 of the 30 years working at this place has been incredible. And I don't take even a little bit of it for granted.
Same. Yeah, we deserve to party Friday night. I don't know. It's a lot of luck, but the definition of luck is when preparation meets opportunity, and I mean that's
and all that meant the P1s who fuel this whole thing, and to have that
because we're really all just P1s at heart.
It's a secret handshake. It's like a brotherhood within the Metroplex.
Yeah, it's kind of a cult or a gang,
and it's the best cult to be in.
It is,
and we won't ask you to drink anything Friday night.
We won't ask you to commit any violent acts or anything. That's all on you.